This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The North Carolina House and Senate have approved plans for dozens of new district boundaries in the state. The vote comes in the wake of the Supreme Court's ruling that 28 of North Carolina's legislative districts were racially gerrymandered. Each chamber must now pass the other chamber's plan for new districts, and they're under a tight deadline. A three-judge panel has set this Friday as the last day to submit the finally approved maps. WNC politics reporter Rusty Jacobs has been following the story and joins me now. Hello, Rusty.
Hi, Frank.
Also with us is WNC Capital Bureau Chief Jeff DeBerry. Hi, Jeff.
Good to be here.
Rusty, let's talk about this. I'm assuming, would have assumed straight party line vote, but not quite, right?
Not quite. In each chamber, a couple of Republicans parted ways. Larry Pittman was one of the Republicans in the House who voted against that chamber's district plan. He's in Cabarrus County and is being double bunked, put into a district with another Republican incumbent. And his grievance, the way he expressed it during debate yesterday, was his voters, his constituencies being disenfranchised by a process that's not as fair, perhaps, as it should be. In the Senate, Senator Cook in Beaufort County was concerned, in his colorful words, that he has now been put into this new district with a bunch of other liberal, progressive-leaning areas, and his conservative area will now be swimming in a sea of liberalism.
All right, so we've got a little bit of that. But otherwise, straight party line vote. There were hearings last week, right, where citizens and interest groups were able to weigh in, but not a lot of time to look at these maps and not a lot of time to talk about it, right?
No, and that was a big complaint even yesterday in Florida. House Minority Leader Darren Jackson went back to that issue that there just was not enough time, and there was a lot of comment. The comment was heard certainly by the Senate Redistricting Committee chairs, Ralph Heiss in the Senate, David Lewis in the House, but I think there's a lot of doubt as to whether those comments factored in to the ultimate plans, because the plans were probably written already.
And the plans were rewritten because the initial plans drawn up by the GOP-led General Assembly were adjudicated by a federal court. They were racially gerrymandered, back to the drawing board. And of course, time is short, but so take us back. We've got all these districts that have to be redrawn because they were racially gerrymandered. The complaint now is, well, but now they're politically gerrymandered, and it's having pretty much the same effect. I mean, that's been the complaint mostly in these hearings, right?
Yes, and again, you'll hear from representatives like Darren Jackson that one of the problems is you've got the map-making consultant from 2011, Thomas Hoffler, back to do his job, only this time, according to the Republicans, they did not consider race.
Darren Jackson makes a colorful NASCAR analogy in this quote.
How do you instruct him now not to use what he knows all so well? It would be like telling Dale Jr. not to look at his speedometer. It's pointless. He still knows how fast he's going when he's in that car.
House Minority Leader Darren Jackson yesterday on the floor during debate over the new legislative maps, a Democrat from Wake County. Tell us more about the Democratic pushback on these maps.
Well, there was that concern that the map-making consultant is the same from 2011, that the ultimate results are very similar to what you had with the 2011 maps. Again, the Republicans reiterate race was not considered. Democrats say you actually have to consider race to remedy the problem. Senator Blue mentioned that in Senate debate the other day. And the other complaints, Darren Jackson, pointed out that even when there were Democratic gerrymanders, the margin was not as wide as it is with the Republican maps, that even in the alternatives Darren Jackson and Democrats have been offering as amendments that have failed in the past few days, their results would have been Republican majorities, just not supermajorities. And so their argument is that the Republicans are just determined to hold on to a supermajority when there are fairer maps that would still give them a majority.
No, but the Republicans say not true, not true at all. Senate Pro Tem leader, the leader of the Republican Party, of course, in the Senate, Phil Berger, represents Rockingham County, said, come on, it's not about gerrymandering.
It's easy to understand why gerrymandering has been the boogeyman since they were swept out of power in 2010. It's easier to blame the maps, blame a process, blame anything really, than it is to take responsibility for losing touch with the politics of voters in 75 of North Carolina's 100 counties.
Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger speaking yesterday. Rusty Jacobs, what happens now?
Well, what happens now is the one committee has already voted to, the Senate Redistricting Committee has approved, or rather given a favorable report on the House plan. So now the House plan will go to the full Senate. They should probably are expected to rubber stamp it and approve it in the House. The House Redistricting Committee will consider the Senate plan this afternoon. Then that will go to the full Senate for a vote. And then both maps, once approved, will go for judicial review Friday.
All right. And what happens now? What's next for the courts? If they don't like it, what do they do?
Well, they can approve it or they can reject it, and they can even elect to redraw the maps themselves. A lot of the debate you heard yesterday in the Senate, in the House, a lot of the debate in a way was laying the groundwork for legal arguments that will be taken up by both sides with the judicial panel. If there's going to be an argument as to the validity of these maps, a lot of it is going to really rest on the arguments you heard in the debate yesterday.
All right, a lot of legal action around redistricting in the state of North Carolina, but there are other issues up for judicial review. WNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBeery has been following two state Supreme Court cases that may have important implications for our political system. Jeff, let's talk about the Supreme Court. It heard arguments yesterday that the lawsuit launched by Governor Cooper against the GOP. We talked about that. Tell us more about what the governor is charging that the GOP-led legislature has done that he thinks is unconstitutional.
Listeners will remember that weeks after about a week after now-then-Governor-elect Cooper was finally declared the winner in kind of that protracted election from last year, lawmakers reconvened, held a special session, and stripped away some powers from the executive branch. Some of those have held up. For example, appointments made by the governor now have to have state Senate approval. So that's one that went through. Another that was taken away were the power, the ability of the state's executive to appoint positions to the State Board of Elections. This is something governors have done in the state for 100 years. And what the Republican-led legislature wanted to do, is still trying to do, is combine the Election and Ethics Board into one 8-member board. And effectively, the governor would not have majorities of his or her party at the county and at the state level of Board of Elections. And this is relevant. This is you know, directly matters as we think about the Cooper campaign from last year, because the governor campaigned on ballot access as one of his issues, making the polls available for longer during early voting and allowing the polls to be open more frequently on Saturdays or Sundays. And these, of course, as we've talked about on the program, are election provisions much more frequently used by Democrats. So that ability of his, he contends, was taken away by the legislature, and this is moving through right now. And what we don't have at the moment is a state board of elections. So it's this interesting bit of limbo. The state Supreme Court has effectively ruled not to fill the positions until they hear this case. So we're in this state of flux right now.
So you have the old system, but you can't fill it with – you can't populate that system, and the new system is still being adjudicated, so that's not in effect yet.
If
the legislature wins on this. And, of course, the governor's lost in these previous cases where he claimed that the legislature overstepped its bounds and was unconstitutional. In those cases, it came down to, look, the legislature giveth, the legislature can taketh away. It's not in those cases.
And this is a constitutional question. The governor's camp says that what the legislature has done is violate the state constitution. What the legislature says it is doing is simply exercising its power over state agencies. And ultimately, the court is going to decide which one it is here. That's where the argument falls.
All right. And we talked about gerrymandering. And, of course, we know that political gerrymandering in this country is absolutely legal. That's why those maps look so funny. And the Democrats, of course, did it when they were in power. But the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing a case in Wisconsin, out of Wisconsin, that could change all of that, too. It's an interesting case that looms over all of this discussion.
It is potentially monumental. And on October 3rd, that case is before the U.S. Supreme Court. This deals with the efficiency gap. And effectively, the efficiency gap is an equation that looks at partisan gerrymandering and looks at wasted votes. There is a court hearing today in federal court in North Carolina that is very similar in argument to what's going to be before the Supreme Court. And it deals with the efficiency gap in North Carolina. And the argument that has been brought by Common Cause, a left-leaning organization, is that North Carolina has more wasted votes, a greater efficiency gap than anywhere else in the country. The percentage is 15%. But to try to package it a little bit more nicely, there are 170 seats in the General Assembly. In 2016, 10%, just 17 of the seats were actually produced competitive races. Yeah. And in 46% of the races, 79 of the 170 seats, there were not competitors. They were uncontested races. So the challenge that is today in federal court is similar to what's going to play out before the Supreme Court. It's possible these cases could be tethered together at some point. We don't know yet, but it is a similar argument to what is happening on a national scale. And as you mentioned, this has the potential to be very, very big for American politics.
I want to thank you both for being on the program. Jeff DeBeery, WUNC Capitol Bureau Chief, and Rusty Jacobs, WUNC Politics Reporter. Thank you both.
Glad to be here.
Welcome.
We have links to their reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, how the South and North Carolina shaped the film industry. You'll hear that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.